The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. How many times has that been read as a tradition in our household to our kids? It's Christmas Eve. All of the hustle and bustle, all of the craziness of this Christmas season is coming to a head tonight and tomorrow. We have a white Christmas this year. It's been at least a few years since that happened. We've decorated a tree with Christmas lights and with decorations and balls, and it all depends on tradition. Stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there. We hang our stockings every year, and I'm not even sure we understand why. It's just something we do. But there is a true story behind those stockings, and I suggest everyone try to find that story of the true story of St. Nicholas and what he did. We sing Christmas carols, and we have family over for dinner. And usually, a big part of that tradition is that we eat too much, and then we open Christmas presents. We all have family traditions and Christmas traditions. There are many in the Christian community who say we shouldn't celebrate Christmas. That we shouldn't celebrate decorating the tree and giving presents. They argue that there's no proof that the early church even celebrated Christmas. Especially not on December 25th, because that's not when Jesus was born. And they're right. That's not when Jesus was born. There's no proof that the early church did celebrate Christmas. They didn't. And December 25th was chosen because it was also a pagan holiday celebrating Zeus and the celebration of Saturnalia. In early America, it wasn't celebrated. It was outlawed, actually. And if you didn't work on Christmas Day, you were charged $25. Which at that time was a lot of money. Many non-Christian customs had attached themselves to the holiday celebration over the centuries. And there was an attempt to rid the celebration of all of those customs. And in doing so, they decided just to eliminate the celebration altogether. In Europe, Christmas became a carnival. It became a huge party. Well, crowds would take to the streets and they would dance and sing and they would play act. People would dress up in animal costumes and they would go door to door and they would expect food and refreshments and tips. Kind of like Halloween for Christmas, trick or treating. Now, if you listen to some of the carols, you'll actually hear some of the residual effects of some of those customs. In the song, Here We Go A-Caroling, in the second verse it says, oh, we're not daily beggars who beg from door to door, but we are neighbors' children that you have seen before. Because that was the tradition, to go from door to door and beg for food and money. And they wanted the neighbors to know, we're not just the beggars, we're your neighbor's kids. Christmas became 12 days of overeating, overdrinking, and overgambling. Now today, many of those 150-year-old traditions and customs are gone. They're no longer part of our Christmas. But we still have a tendency to overeat, overshop, overwork, overspend. And these traditions can seem at times to be just as extreme as some of the traditions of old. So the question is, are the Christian Christmas traditions that we celebrate today, are they harmful? Are they appropriate? Or do they, to put it another way, can we honor Christ in our traditions? One tradition that we as a church use to keep Christ at the center of Christmas is the Advent candle lighting. Each Sunday we have been lighting a different candle on the Advent wreath. I've asked my family to come up. Now, the first candle we lit was the prophecy candle. And the message that day was about how God revealed the coming of Christ child years before he was born. In Isaiah and among the prophets. And unlike those who first heard the prophecy, we do not have to wait to experience the birth of Jesus and share the greatest gift with those around us. So we lit the prophecy candle. The next candle we lit was the Bethlehem candle. And we were reminded in the sermon that God chose a humble beginning for his Savior of the world. Jesus was born in a humble stable, in humble village, to humble parents. It is through humbleness, our humbleness, that God does the greatest work. The next candle was the shepherd's candle. This reminded us that God is no respecter of persons. He chose the lowly shepherds to announce that to be the first to see the Savior. No one is beyond God's reach. The next candle we lit this morning was the angel candle. And we read it, the candle reminds us that we need to focus not on the messenger, but on the message of Christmas, which is Christ. We focus on his first advent, but even more so, we look forward to his second. And tonight, we light the Christ candle, the white candle in the center.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11.
Pray with me. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Lord. As we focus and put our focus on Christ at Christmas, Emmanuel, the greatest gift ever given. Amen. Have a good day. Tonight, I also want to start a new tradition. And I'm hoping that you will also start this tradition in your home. If I can remember how to make myself a note, each Christmas Eve we are going to read through the Luke account of the birth of Christ. What we're going to do tonight is I'm going to have some people come up and read. They will read a part of it, and we will respond to it with music, with singing a carol, a song, a hymn. And we will go completely through the account and respond to it with music and joy. My hope is that you make this a new tradition in your home for Christmas Eve. I've asked Paul to come and read the first part of Luke 2:1-7.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee and from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of, and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was his child with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
We're going to sing Away in the Manger.
Jesus, let's be. Second reading is from Luke 2, 8 through 12. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
This comes from Luke 2, verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased."
In reply, echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo.
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who had heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen, as has been told to them.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morning. The slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name.
Five love languages describes how we receive love, how we long to receive love, and how we express our love, how we communicate our love to one another. And the five love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And as I think about Christmas, and I think about traditions, I think that these should be the elements of our traditions. We speak words of affirmation to each other when we say Merry Christmas and when we tell our family, I love you. We take time off from our normal routine and we spend quality time with our family and friends and we are expressing our love to them. We give gifts and we receive gifts. And many times, I mean, we put our lives on the line sometimes to get those gifts. And we spend the time to really think about the gift and what it will mean to the person we're giving it to. And when we do that, we are expressing our love. We do acts of service for each other. We run errands. We clean the house for our spouses and for our family. We help assemble a toy. Sometimes for hours. Sometimes with the instructions, sometimes without. And we work and cook a traditional Christmas meal for the ones we love, from far and near. And in doing so, we express our love for each other. We hug one another. We hold our children. We hug our family and our friends. Sometimes our friends are not comfortable with us hugging them, but we do it anyways. And in doing so, we express our love. Yes, I agree with the critics of Christmas and say that it is possible to overshop, overeat, overspend, but I disagree with them when I look at our intent. I do not believe it is possible to overlove. Some people miss the mark, and they spend all their time and energy following the traditions, and they miss the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning is that a God who truly loves us came down to be among us. It's truly a tragedy when people do that, when they miss it. Because if we leave Christ out of Christmas, we've done a big disservice to our family and to ourselves. Some of us will remember the mystery of God becoming man. We will ponder the love of God who gave us the best gift of all, salvation through Jesus Christ. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your traditions. And enjoy the wonder that God became man, born of a virgin, whose birth was announced by the angels to lowly shepherds outside a humble town, in fulfillment of ancient prophecies. And that he was born to die, to take away the sins of the world. And if you have not received Christ, you can experience the joy of Christmas today. And if your heart seems far from God, you can rekindle that flame and enjoy Christmas again. A joy of receiving a gift that ultimately cost Jesus' life. A gift that will give you eternal life. The greatest gift ever given and the greatest gift ever received. From my family to yours, I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. I love all of you. I do. And if I could hug all of you, I will. So watch it. We're going to end tonight. You were given a candle. You want to go ahead and turn it on? We lit candles, we put up lights, we turn these candles on, realizing that Jesus is the light of the world. And we celebrate that light in a dark place. I'm going to ask that you stand. We're going to turn all the lights down. And we're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to sing it without instruments. We all know it.
Silent night, holy night. so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. The angels told the shepherds that peace on earth, goodwill to men, in whom his salvation rests. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We praise you for Christmas. Yes, we know that the wise men were not at the manger. We know that you weren't born. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. We know of all of the traditions that we celebrate today, of the Christmas tree and the stockings and caroling. We know, Lord, that those are our human ways of expressing something. But we also know that you came to earth to die for us. You came as a little baby in a manger. And that you did it because you loved us. And it was your way of showing that love for us, to tell us, I love you, to be with us, to hold us, to touch us, to do works of service for us, to give us words of affirmation. And to be our Savior. As we celebrate Christmas, Father, remind us of that. And help us to take that feeling, that love we have at Christmas, and to carry it throughout the year to everyone we meet. Christmas is not a one-time of the year and done. Christmas is all year. The love we have can last all year. We praise you, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. Be with us as we go. Keep us safe as we enjoy our white Christmas tomorrow. What a blessing. And may we forever praise you and have peace with you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.